Rivers have always been associated with a large natural stream that eventually empties into the ocean, lake, or other body of water. That's easy to visualize, but can you imagine an atmospheric river? Today's segment is part of a series titled, Water is a Many Splendid Thing. Hello, I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water. I heard about an atmospheric river for the first time while attending an extreme flood conference in California. David Reynolds was one of the speakers from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He's been involved in studying this phenomena and shared his knowledge and insight about atmospheric rivers.
Well, other people may have heard of what we call now an atmospheric river as maybe the Pineapple Connection, something like that. That's sort of been the terminology that most people might have heard about in the past 20 or 30 years, where we have this moisture source near Hawaii that comes up into California and produces these heavy rains. Well, now we understand what this phenomena really is. It's the case where we have a strong jet stream, an upper-level jet stream, a strong river of air moving very fast, and this has circulations around this jet stream, which causes storms. This is how our storms move across the Pacific Ocean and across the United States. But if these jet streams get far enough to south and are strong enough and can extend far enough across the Pacific Ocean, they can tap into tropical moisture, moisture that sits all the time near the equator in the Pacific Ocean. We can start drawing that moisture up into this jet stream circulation, and this produces a narrow stream of very high concentrated moisture that in the past has been called this Pineapple Connection, that actually is, you know, can extend sometimes back all the way to Southeast Asia, come all the way across the Pacific Ocean and slam into California. And it's these phenomena that tend to produce our flooding in California.
The Pineapple Express sounds pretty harmless, but these storms can become quite severe. Meteorologists work closely with other scientists that are associated with forecasting storms. Large volumes of real-time data and historic data are used to simulate weather conditions. As this information is simulated, projections of storm development are also made. When Dan and his team see an atmospheric river developing through their computer simulations, communication is made with emergency response offices, and warnings regarding the storm's likely intensity are reported to the public.
Well, what we're trying to do now that we recognize what these phenomena are and we can understand how they manifest themselves in our computer models, we now can see these manifested in our computer forecast out sometimes several days, maybe a week to 2 weeks ahead of time. We can start alerting the emergency management to the potential for an upcoming heavy rain event. It may not be a certainty, but certainly the models are suggesting and have been suggesting, say, for 3 or 4 or 5 days now that a big event is coming. So we can start alerting them to the fact that somewhere in northern central California, we may see some serious rainfall. Maybe as early as 7 days out, we'll start briefing California Emergency Management that a potential for a major storm is coming. And we'll start to say, well, it looks like it's going to be concentrated in maybe northern central California. We don't have the details yet. But we can say this looks like it could be a multi-inch type rainfall, and it could be associated with very high winds and potential for coastal flooding. The storm is going to be very intense. And so we start giving them a heads up, but we leave out the specifics because we don't know those that far out.
How often do these atmospheric rivers show up?
You know, somewhere probably in the Oregon-California coastal area, we can have 2 or 3 of these in a winter time situation, but they have different intensities. So they can cause, you know, sometimes they're just heavy rain events without the flooding. When they stall out or last for more than 3 or 4 days, that's when we get concerned and we start having the flooding situations.
Federal and state agencies have scientists dedicated to studying and predicting severe weather. It is thought that a most effective way of reducing property damage and maintain the safety of our communities is to have as early a warning of approaching storms as possible. It is then up to you. Board up the windows and doors, sandbag the low spots of your property, and have enough food and water to wait out the storm. And let's not forget to keep in touch with scientists like Reynolds. Fresh batteries and a radio will keep you informed of anything else that is needed, including pulling up your stakes and finding safer ground. Fundamental to our lives and environment. I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water.